Hi, I'm Mark Vincent, and you're listening to 5 Minutes on Psalm 20. This is a psalm about a king, and in fact, the relationship between the congregation who's saying the psalm and their king. Now, it's quite helpful here to actually try and imagine the circumstance in which this psalm, for which this psalm might have been composed and how it might have been used. Now, it's a little bit speculative, admittedly, to do that. We can't be certain exactly how the psalm was used and why it was composed. But with a little bit of imagination and a good deal of help from what the psalm actually says, it seems to be possible to reconstruct something of the situation in which it would have been used. So, it's a psalm that's written in the plural. We, the audience, the people, the king's subjects, are addressing the king, and we're doing so as the king is about to go into the temple to ask for God's blessing before he leads his people into battle or on a mission or expedition of some sort. Here's the opening of the psalm. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. So this is us now, the people, the king's subjects, addressing the king. The Lord hear thee, king, in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice. So the king is just about to make offerings then. He's just about to offer burnt sacrifice before God. Why would he do that? Well, all kinds of reasons, but you might well imagine that a particularly poignant time for him to do that would be as he seeks God's blessing before going into battle. So the first 8 lines of the psalm, which is the first half of it, are all about these requests that God will hear and grant the request of the king. The Lord hear thee, the Lord defend thee, the Lord send thee help, strengthen thee, remember thy offerings, accept thy sacrifice, grant thee, fulfill all thy counsel, and fulfill all thy petitions. So 9 different verbs there of imploring God to be with the king. There's also a contrast as well between the people, the we, and others who are not like them. And that comes out particularly, actually, in the second half of the psalm. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So we know who we're going to trust in, not the strength of our army or the number of horses that we have, but the fact that God is on our side. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Why is that? Because God's on our side and because we have such a great king. And the second half of the psalm then, the last 8 lines, now I think envisage that the prayer has been offered, the sacrifices have been made, and the king now comes out of the temple to lead his people into battle. And these words are spoken now, words of confidence that God will grant the king's request. So as the king comes out, the audience says to him, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." And then the psalm ends appropriately enough with another plea to God, "Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call." So the people trust in God. It's God ultimately who's going to grant deliverance. And they also trust in their king, and they're happy to follow him. Let the king hear us when we call.